Good morning. So here we are on another Sharing Sunday. And we've named it this because we come together and we share food together, don't we? And we've all enjoyed that so far. We worship together. And in some weeks, we've heard from someone who has shared a bit of their adventures with Jesus. They've shared some of their story. Today's going to be a little bit different. I am going to share a story with you, but it's not my story. And instead, we're going to be looking at how we as a church family can share hope and share Jesus with our community here by sharing what we have with those who are in financial poverty. So I've got a little video first that's just going to introduce this to us. I don't know about anyone else, but I had a little tear in my eye. I think I've watched that 4 times already, and it still makes me cry each time. It's a natural thing, isn't it, to want to share what we have with those who don't have. It's called compassion, isn't it? And as Christians, God gives us hearts of compassion to those around us. In Colossians 3, it says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, I don't know if anyone can tell me what it means to clothe yourselves with compassion. Anyone any idea what that might mean? Doesn't have to be a child. What does it mean to clothe ourselves with compassion? It's a bit of a funny word, isn't it? Anyone want to hazard a guess? That's right, it's visible, isn't it, for other people to see. So our compassionate hearts shouldn't just be something that's on the inside. That should have an outward expression, shouldn't it, that people can see. So on your tables, children, anyone else that wants to do it, there are some of these little people cutouts. You might still be doing what Julie asked you to do, and that's fine. But if you want to, we've got a little person here. He's a little bit bare at the moment. He needs some compassionate clothes on. So you can draw some clothes that show God's compassion on this person if you'd like to. So there we are, you can do that. So yeah, we should be putting on kindness and compassion, shouldn't we? So that people around us can see that. Both the Old and the New Testament are packed full of instructions of taking care of the poor and the marginalized, aren't they? There's numerous verses I could have brought that show that. Jesus talked about this a lot as well, and he demonstrated his heart of compassion to those in need through what he said, through the teachings that he gave, but also by his actions, didn't he? He spent most of his time among the poor and the marginalized. Taking care of those in need isn't an optional part of being a Christian, is it? It's what we're called to do. The Bible's clear. James speaks very strongly about this. James in the Bible, in the book of James, most likely Jesus' brother James, he said this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Pretty strong words, aren't they, from James there. I hope we all agree that we don't want dead faith. So we can clothe ourselves with compassion, but how can we turn that into action? How do our compassionate hearts point outwards? And sometimes it can be hard to know how to help people, can't it? Especially when poverty is often hidden. Like the boy in the video, he didn't want to tell his friends that he had no food, did he? It was hidden. He was embarrassed. And that can often be how it is with poverty. It's hard to find out who needs the help. We went to Leeds the other week, and we were really shocked by the number of people living rough on the streets. And so there's a really obvious need there, isn't it? And you can buy food and you can give money and things, and that's an obvious need. Whereas we don't see that out here, do we? It's a different culture we're in here. You don't tend to see people out begging on the streets. However, poverty is still real here. There is still need, but it's just hidden behind closed doors. So how can we, as Jesus' hands and feet and as the church, how can we help the people that are behind those closed doors here? Well, a while ago, we became partners as a church with a charity called Acts 435. I mentioned this when we spoke about the vision in September this year, and I said that we would revisit this and I would tell you more about it, and that's what I'm going to be doing today, about who they are and how, through our partnership with them, we can help people who are struggling financially in our communities here. So Acts 4:35 is based on a verse in the Bible. Can anyone guess what that verse might be? Acts 4:35, does anyone know what this verse is? It's a good test, isn't it? Anyone know? So it's when the early church has just formed and they are bringing together what they have to share. The actual verse is, "And it was given to anyone in need." And this is the early church who were living in community together. And I'm going to just read the full passage to us now. "All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." Now, don't worry, I'm not asking you to sell your house. These would have been extra houses that people had. It wasn't their own home, but they had extra houses and they sold them and bought the money. But I'm not suggesting that you do that. And these verses were specifically talking about the community of the believers. So this was the group of Christians and that there was no needy people among them. Obviously, there were needy people in the community around them. And so, yes, we can care for each other as church, and we hear lots of stories about how you guys are already doing that, looking after each other, meeting each other's needs, which is brilliant. But we have an opportunity, don't we, to take that outside of our church walls and family to the community around us. And that's where our partnership with Acts 4:35 comes in. So how does it work? Acts 4:35 is a charity that connects people who want to give with people in need. Basically, it's a website where needs are posted anonymously, and then people can give small amounts of money to help meet that need. So I'm going to explain to you how it's going to work, but I need a little bit of help. So I need 3 males and 3 females to come and help me. It needs to be not people that have already been given the other things to use. So I need to have different people. Okay, Zeb, you're coming, aren't you? I need someone else. I need some grown-ups, basically. Come on, Claire. Thank you, Josie. Come up. I need some men. Come on, don't be shy. Talitha, if you want to come, that's fine. Come on, Phil, that's right. 3, great. I've got them all. Right, okay. This has clearly not been rehearsed, so we're going to see how this goes. Okay, right. Meet Adam. Okay, this is Adam. Okay, Adam works hard filling the shelves at his local supermarket on the night shift. Okay. Adam, sorry, Claire, lives with his elderly mum. Jean, okay? So Jean, you can take a seat there.
Yeah, you would never get over here,
right? Unfortunately, Jean's not very well. And so Adam spends the night shift working in the supermarket, and the daytime he's looking after Jean. And because Jean's not very well, she's sat at home all day. It's cold, so the heating bills are really high in their home. Life's pretty hard for Adam, working hard and looking after Jean, but things are manageable. Until one day, the boiler breaks down. There's no heating or hot water. It gets pretty cold in their house. It's pretty cold, it's getting damp, and it's not good for Jean's health. So things are looking pretty grim. So Adam calls out a plumber. Here's the plumber. He takes a look at the boiler and he says, "I'm sorry, but it's going to be £150 to fix." Now, Adam doesn't have £150 in savings because he's living hand to mouth. He just covers the bills, but he doesn't have the money for this kind of bill. So he doesn't know what to do. Thank you. You can go. Adam's in the doctor's with his mum when he sees a poster for Acts 4:35 on the wall. So he gives the number a call. Sally answers the phone. Five. So, Adam tells Sally all about the problems, about the fact that their house is cold and that it's damp and that they're really struggling. And Sally says, don't worry, the church can help you. So she asks him for a few details and she posts the needs on the Acts 4:3 website. Jerry in Birmingham sees the need and feels compassion for Adam's situation. You can go and collect the money. He decides to give £10 towards the boiler repair. Catherine in Liverpool also sees the need and feels compassion. She gives £25 to the boiler repair. 6-year-old Cassie decides to give £5 of her pocket money to the boiler repair. Richard and Sarah both give £50. And finally, Sandra gives £10. If you're good at maths, you'll know that that is now £150. So Acts 4:35 sends the money to Sally's church, and Sally visits Adam to tell him the good news. Adam rings the plumber. The plumber comes back and fixes the boiler. And Adam pays the bill. Adam and Jean now have a warm home again and are so grateful to the strangers who showed compassion and shared what they had. But that's not the end. Peter from the church invited Adam to come to the men's breakfast. Off you go. Meanwhile, Doris from the church, you can go, Adam, you're off to the breakfast now. Doris from the church comes over and spends time with Jean. You can sit down. While they're out, they like to play Scrabble together. So now you can see that not only have Adam and Jean got a warm home, they've got new friends from the church and they're no longer isolated and lonely. Thank you, volunteers. Let's give them a clap. That wasn't quite as chaotic as I thought it might be. So as you can see, small gifts from individuals around the country can make a big difference to one person's life and situation. Since Acts 4:35 began, over 47,000 individuals have been helped by the charity, with over £5 million given to those in need. The current average time taken to meet a need that's posted on the website is just 2 days. So, what kinds of things are on there? All kinds of things, and I've got a bag here, and I'm going to come around. You're going to take something out of the bag, and you've got to try and guess what you think that thing might represent. Okay. Okay, we've got a mortarboard. What do we think that might be? Could be, yeah, training fees. So sometimes it might be that someone needs a qualification to get a job, such as like a security license or something like that, and so they might put that on the website. So not funding someone through a degree, but like a short training course. Okay, great. Otis, you want to take one? Got a plate. What might that represent? Food, yep. So sometimes people have had their 3 food parcels, but they're still in poverty, or they need actually stuff that the food bank doesn't provide. Obviously, the food bank is very basic, and it might be that they need fresh goods, so they might put a plea on for, say, Asda vouchers, and you take the person shopping, and you do a big food shop and fill their cupboards. What have we got here?
Clothing.
What specifically?
School clothing.
School uniforms are really expensive. So that's a really good one that people often need, especially if they've got multiple children. Catherine? What have we got?
A sofa?
Furniture, yeah. Often if people have had to move home quickly, maybe they've had to flee for some reason, or maybe they're newly arrived in the UK, they might be given a property, but it's often unfurnished. There's often no carpets, no furniture. So that's a really common one that comes up. What have we got there?
Like a lead for a dog.
Yeah, what might that represent? Any ideas? Vet fees, yeah, that can be something. Sometimes someone's animal is the only thing that they've got, and actually if they get an unexpected vet bill that they can't afford, that could be something that goes on there. Steve? Yeah, a pillowcase. Bedding, yeah. Again, that can be another just a basic household need. What have we got?
Ibuprofen.
Yeah, so what might that represent?
Need for medication.
Yeah, medication, particularly prescriptions. It might be to buy someone like an annual prescription card. That can often appear on there. What have you got?
An ice cream thing.
An ice pack. What might that represent? A fridge, that's right. A fridge or a freezer. Basic needs that people have in their home. What have you got?
Glasses.
Yep, that's an easy one, isn't it? New glasses, yeah, something that people really can't manage without, but are expensive, aren't they? Etienne.
A light bulb?
Oh, a light bulb, what might that represent?
Lighting.
Electric bill, that's right. With the cost of living rising, electric bills rising, often that could be something that's unaffordable, particularly if people are on prepayment meters. It might be that they do a top-up that's going to last them a few months. Margaret, you can have our last one.
It looks like a bus.
It's a bus, what might that represent? Transport, it might be that someone's got a new job and they haven't got any way to get there, or it could be a car repair or something like that. So as you can see, there's a whole variety of things that can be posted. There's no limit to what can be posted because it's people's choice whether they give to it or not. So people put it on there, but it's always basic needs. It's never like luxury items. It would never be the latest iPhone or, you know, a holiday to the Bahamas. It's always going to be basic needs. And there is a limit of £200 on what can be posted per need. And you can post up to 3 needs per person or family. So it is for those really basic things that people need. We're going to watch a video now that shows us a real life story. So the one I said before was a made up one, but this is actually filmed at the Light Church in Bradford, who've been working with Acts 4:35 for quite some time. And this just shows a real life story of someone who's been helped through Acts 4:35.
I do what I do because I've always had a life calling to basically to help people who are living in poverty and to tell them about the good news that Jesus loves them. Yeah, having Acts 4:35 as sort of part of our armoury, as it were, all the different ways that we can help people is just really fantastic. There are definitely times when somebody needs that extra level of help, that financial level of help that we can access through Acts 4:35, which makes all the difference to someone. One story is really cool where a guy came into food bank and he's basically just got out of hospital and only really had the clothes he had to stand up in. So we put that request on the website. Then donors would maybe give £10, £20 to give to that need. And we were able to buy the things that he wanted. He chose them and we bought them. He was really touched by that and really grateful to everybody that had given. Then he turned up at church on Sunday, which was amazing. And since then, he's gone on to get baptised and he's on the journey. Acts 4:35 definitely played a part in that. It's just really good when you have a client who comes in and you see that there's a real need for something and that actually Acts 4:35 can fill that gap, and a small amount of money can really make a really big difference and overcome an obstacle, which then might set them on the road to getting out of their situation. If you donate to Acts 4:35, the money that you give, every penny, will go towards that person that really needs it. And to a need when they don't have any other support structure around them, maybe no other family that can help, and you can step in and help those people.
It's great, isn't it? What a great story. And I'm just excited that that could happen here, that we could have someone like that man, who we're able to help, and then who not only are we able to meet a practical need for that person, but actually get to know them, and they might become part of our church family. That's exciting, isn't it? Well, I'm excited about it anyway. And it's a really simple way for us to connect with the community. There's so many different projects that churches run, aren't there? But we, without a building, we are limited with what we can do. You know, we can't gather people to a place easily that we can run a cafe or a food bank or whatever. But this is a way that we go to them, because we go to them in their home. So you don't just send them the money. It's someone from the church goes you know, with that person to buy those clothes or to take them to the food shop or to deliver the washing machine or whatever it is. There's a connection between the church and that person. And so you've got that relational connection as well. So it's just a simple and easy way for us to connect with our community without the need for a big project that costs a lot of money and requires a venue to run from. So we're really excited about this. Can anyone remember what the last part of our Airedale vision statement is? Not apart from Philip and Joyce, because they know it off by heart. Anyone else? Anyone else know what the last part is? It is, that's right, it's to do with reaching the community. So it is actually to reach the villages of the Air Valley with the hope and salvation of Jesus. We are going to promise you some bookmarks with this on to put in your Bibles. To reach the villages of the Air Valley with the hope and salvation of Jesus. And through partnering with Acts 4:35, we can help to bring hope by meeting a practical need. Like Josie said, often that first step of can actually be the way out of someone's situation. They just need that little helping hand to make a change. And we can maybe step into a gap that nobody else can have. It's hard to imagine not having any support network, isn't it? Because all of us have each other, even if we don't have family outside of this community, we've got each other. But some people have nobody, and we can be that person. But in the process of doing this, as we show love and compassion, we also have a chance to share Jesus with these people. So just a few practical things. What does it cost for us? It's completely free for us as a church to partner with Acts 4:35. All of the charity's overheads are covered by the gift aid donations that come in when people give. So every penny that you give goes directly to the person. But if you tick the gift aid box, that covers the charity's overheads. So it's an incredible model. So it's completely free for us to partner with them. And it's great knowing that your giving goes directly to the people. So you might be sat there thinking, great, this sounds good, but how do we get involved? So there's three or four different ways that we can get involved. One is that we can give personally. So we can go on the website and have a look at the needs that are on there. There's needs in Skipton. There's needs in Keighley because the churches there are already partnered with them, the CAP centres. You can filter by location to give to local needs, or you can filter by particular situations that are on your heart, asylum seekers, families, homelessness. It's a really great thing to involve the children in. We do it with our boys because it's so practical. We go on there and they choose something and we give the money to that thing. So I'd really recommend if you've got children, get them involved with this too. And you know that even though you're giving a small amount, it's going directly there. So it's a really, there's a direct impact to your gift. Once we have needs that start to come through our church, we will let you know that we've posted on there so that if you want to, you can give to the needs that we are connecting with directly. But in the meantime, you know, feel free to go on and have a look what's on there. So you can give. You can also spread the word. Now we've signed up, we can post needs on the website, but we need people to know about this. So if you come across someone who has a need, tell them about it. Get them to get in contact with us, or you can get in contact with us. We've got a load of leaflets and posters that we're going to fill our details in with. So if you're able to take those and maybe give them to people that you meet, maybe your local doctor's surgery will have some, maybe you go to a community group and you can put a poster up on the notice board, maybe you've got contacts with a school, maybe your children are in school, you can ask the school to be aware of it because they will come across families all the time who need this kind of help. We've already done some of this work, we have let the local schools know and things, but we need help to get the word out there. So if there's anywhere or anybody that you think that you've got a way that you can spread this word, please come and see me and I will give you posters and leaflets. And just be aware that when you hear of needs around you, that we've got this resource available to us now. If you're someone that can help with driving this as well, with going out and visiting schools and doctors or ringing them, I would love you to get involved. I'm currently the only person that's an advocate, so I can post on the website, but I would love someone else to come and join me in that role. It's not a big role, it's just an administration role, really. So if you would like to become an advocate with me, that would be brilliant. Please come and see me. When needs come in, we need people who are up for getting involved with helping to source what that person needs. It might be taking them to a food shop. It might be finding a washing machine online and ordering it. It might be, sourcing something secondhand sometimes if it's a big need. And so we need people who are up for getting involved with that kind of thing. It's a job you can do from home. And we also will need people to go out with people and deliver the items and things like that. So if that's something you'd be up for and you're up for building that relational connection with someone, again, please come and see me. This is something that we need to hold as a church and own. And there's lots of different ways for individuals to get involved in different ways. And lastly, you can pray. You can pray for the work of Acts 4:35. You can pray for those in need in our community that they will see the posters, that they will get told about us, that we're able to connect with them and help them. You can pray for opportunities for us to be able to share Jesus with these people. So, let's just go back to where we began. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. So just as we move back into worship, let's just be dwelling on this. Are we clothed with kindness and compassion? Do people see that in us? Do you feel that God's calling you to any of these different ways to get involved with this new charity? And how can we be a light to those around us through this? I'm just going to pray this over us now, and then we're going to, Julie, if we could go back into worship, that would be great. So let's just pray. Yeah, Father, I thank you that we are your chosen people. We thank you that we are dearly loved and that you demonstrated that by sending your son to die for us. And so I pray that you'd help us to clothe ourselves with your compassion and kindness, Lord. I pray that that will be visible to those around us. I thank you for the love that's within this church family for each other, but I pray that we're able to take that outside of these walls to our community, to the poverty, to the need that's hidden behind closed doors all around us. We're so aware that the cost of living crisis is hitting people hard, that people are embarrassed to share how they're doing. And I pray that you'd help us to get the word out that we have a hope. We can offer a practical solution, a practical hope, but so much more than that. We can offer a hope for eternal life and salvation, for a relationship, a friendship with the Savior of the world. So I pray for this new partnership, Lord. I pray that this will help us to reach out into this community. I pray that it would help to bring hope and salvation to the villages of the Eyre Valley. I pray for individuals here that you would be stirring their hearts as who's going to get involved with this. I pray that you'd help us to own this as a church, that this will be a really positive step for us as your family, your hands and feet in this place, bringing practical solutions, bringing hope, bringing light to this community. So stir us up, Lord. Stir us up in this heart of compassion and kindness and give us an opportunity, from here on to show that in a really practical way in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.